ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 69, Narada's visits Krishna's palaces, text 41. Shri Sukuvacha Icha Charantam Saddharman Pavanam Grihamedinam Tameva sarva gehesu santamekam dadarsaha Shri Sukuvacha Icha charantam saddharman Pavanam grihamedinam Tameva sarva gehesu Santamekam dandarsaha Mantajis. Shri Sukuvacha Sukadev Goswami said, Iti thus Acharantam performing Sa spiritual Dharman the principles of religion Bhavana purifying Grihamedinam for householders. Tam him. Eva indeed. Sarva in all. Gehesu the palaces. Santam present. Ekam in one form. Tadarsaha he saw. Translation. Sukadev Goswami said, thus in every palace, Narada saw the Lord in His same personal form, executing the transcendental principles of religion that purify those engaged in household affairs. Purport. In this verse, Sukadev Goswami repeats what the Lord has Himself explained. As Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was engaged in His so-called household affairs in order to teach people how one can sanctify one's household life, although he may be attached to the imprisonment of material existence. Actually, one is obliged to continue the term of material existence because of household life. But the Lord, being very kind upon householders, demonstrated the path of sanctifying ordinary household life, because Krishna is the center of all activities. A Krishna-conscious householder's life is transcendental to Vedic injunctions and is automatically sanctified. As stated in text 2 of this chapter, all the Lord's activities in the many palaces were performed by the Lord's single spiritual form, Ekanavapusa, which manifested in many places at once. This vision was revealed to Narada because of his desire to see it and the Lord's desire to show it to him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that the other residents of Dwarka could see Krishna only in the particular part of the city they themselves occupied and not anywhere else, even if they would sometimes go to another precinct on some business. Thus the Lord gave a special view of his pastimes to his beloved devotees, Narada Muni. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitana Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Siguro Siyutapada Kamalam Si Gurun Vaishnavamscha Si Rupam Sagrajatam Sahavana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sivisakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sinna Dina Vanda Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kansana Gorangi Radha Vindavaneswari Visvabana Sutta Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpadrubhyacha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare The sage Narada Muni is very intimately connected with Krishna and his eternal pastimes. And he is making arrangements within these pastimes for the pleasure of Krishna. Sometimes Narada is witnessing, sometimes Narada is arranging. In this way, whatever may be, Narada is near. Narada is naturally drawn to the Lord. And naturally so, Narada from time to time will appear in the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna is eternally performing the pastimes with his eternally liberated associates, and that is truly the actual reality, the eternal activities of Krishna and his associates in the spiritual world. The liberated souls are somehow or other engaged in the service of these eternal associates of Krishna. That is known in scriptures as Raganuga Bhakti, or the path of rag, the path of attachment to Krishna. And following the Ragatmika devotees, the eternal devotees who are always absorbed in Krishna's loving service. Dwarka is, although not Vrindavan, and in Dwarka, Krishna is particularly engaged in his external duties, the duties of paritranaya sadhanam vinasya saduskritam dharmam samstarpanartya sambhavami yuge yuge. Or to establish the principles of religion and annihilate the demons. That activity is Krishna in his who comes into this world to teach all the conditioned souls and deliver them. And he teaches by example. Yat-yat acharati sristat tat-tat evitaru janaha. Whatever a great man does, common men will follow. So in this way, Krishna, in his household life, is setting standards for all to follow. He just described that Krishna, early in the morning, upon awakening, would be seeing auspicious things, like statues of cows. He would glorify the brahmanas. And he would also meditate, and in this case, meditate on himself, since everyone is meant to meditate on the Supreme Lord. So Krishna also meditated on the Supreme Lord. So in this way, Krishna showed that real household life is meant for making spiritual advancement. And it is that what is being emphasized here. When it is said that Narada Muni was witnessing how Krishna performed his duties in different palaces, these duties were all duties that were spiritually exemplary. Krishna was in that way a householder who was showing that household life in itself need not be any distraction from Krishna consciousness. It is possible to fully walk the path of pure devotional service. There is no need to do anything else. Simply serve Krishna. That can be done by both husband and wife who are committed to such standards of pure devotional service. And at home, the deity can be worshipped. Guests can be invited to the home and offered prasadam. And in this way, everything is done in the service of the Lord. And even earning to maintain the household, karmani vidikaraste mafale sukadachana karma falur hetuburmaste swangasta karmani, that actually, when one is not attached to the fruits of one's labor, but uses those fruits in the service of Krishna, then that labor is also not entangling. In this way, it is possible to live the life of a householder and to go back to the spiritual world and to in by no means become entangled in the by the material energy. It is more difficult, though. It is more difficult because in the Grihastha ashram, sense enjoyment is very near and available, and therefore it may be difficult. It may be difficult to avoid some, due to material attachment, some due to weakness, some undue materialistic activities. And what to say? But still, it is the predominant ashram. We cannot expect a world of renunciants. That is not Lord Chaitanya's movement. Lord Chaitanya's movement is generally a movement of householders who somehow or other transcend their household life by chanting Hare Krishna and by dedicating all their activities to the worship of Krishna. And then everything will be auspicious. As simple as that. Whereas renunciation of sense gratification is in itself also not meaningful if we are not engaging in service to Krishna. Such renunciation can only bring one temporary fruits. It can certainly elevate one to higher positions in the planetary system. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we basically see that according to how a person is dealing with lusty activities, according to how that person deals, he's placed in a different position within the universe. When there's illicit sex, one is placed in lower planetary systems and there is suffering. If, however, there is sexual activities according to religious principles, then one is elevated. And such grihasthas may attain heavenly planets, so it is said. The brahmacharis, they may go even beyond to the, and still beyond that, the sannyasis can go to brahmaloka. But all these are speaking simply about the followers of Varna Ashram. These are not speaking about the Vaishnavas who are engaging in the service of the Lord. When we engage in the service of the Lord, then from any position of life, we can go back to Godhead. That is our aim. So therefore, devotional service is our saving grace, and that is our interest. Krishna in Dwarka is described as being different from Krishna in Vrindavan, and says in Dwarka he is Yadav Kumar or Vasudev Krishna, and it said that there that Krishna now was again reclaimed by the Yadus. After Kamsa had been killed, Jiva Goswami describes, Krishna was ready to go back to Vrindavan. And the Yadu said, wait a minute, where are you going? He said, no, I'm going home. My father, my mother, they are dependent on me. And I will go home now. I'll go to Vrindavan. They said, wait a minute. What did the celestial voice say in relation to Kamsa's death? The celestial voice said that the eighth son of Vasudeva and Devaki would kill Kamsa. So it is, your identity is very clear now. It is very clear who you are. You are clearly the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, and therefore you have a duty. You have a duty to stay and protect your aging parents. Because now that Kansa has been killed, he had many allies, and they will surely come to attack. So you cannot go anywhere. That was it. So Krishna in this way was kind of forced by the Yadus to stay in Dwarka. We see many descriptions. We see that the queens in Dwarka, in one way, it is said that all the gopis of Vrindavan now returned in the form of queens. Srila Rupa Goswami describes that Rukmini was none other than Chandravali. He was saying that Radharani came as Satyabhama, and Lalita as Jambavati. So in this way we're seeing that Krishna, that actually all these personalities are Krishna's eternal associates, and somehow or other they'll also be with Krishna. They'll be with Krishna. At all times, Krishna's associates are there. How can we understand? We simply see that in Dwarka, though, Krishna is following the principles of Dharma. There he's acting like a king, and he's setting the proper standards of behavior, like Lord Ramachandra did. Whereas in Vrindavan it is different. Krishna displays the eternal spiritual world and shows that his own morality is transcendental to mundane morality. When Krishna steals, it's auspicious in that way. Vrindavan is a different abode. In Vrindavan there is only one standard, Krishna's pleasure, and nothing else. In Dwarka there is Dharma. There's basically principles of Dharma, principles of exemplary behavior. And that is now what is being displayed by Krishna. And he who's engaged in his household affairs. All these activities, of course, are extraordinary, and Krishna is manifesting these 16,108 forms. And says like each queen represents one of the 16,108 gopis, and somehow or other are expansions of these forms. And in that way, even when Krishna cannot fully manifest his mood of Vrindavan, still his associates are there, although they can also not fully manifest that mood of Vrindavan due to the royal religious duties that are there within Dwarka. So like that, in Dwarka, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's nature in Dwarka is to an extent covered and not fully manifest. Covered by external prescribed duty. And therefore his associates are not satisfied. And therefore, of course, the residents of Vrindavan. When Dwarka went to Kurukshetra on the suggestion of Vasudev to perform a yajna to counteract the influence of the solar eclipse, then the gopis decided to take advantage. They decided to simply take the reins in their own hand and to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan, because only there is he fully manifesting his pure transcendental nature, which is based only on love and loving exchange and nothing else, not based on any sense of duty, but simply Krishna is only purchased by pure and unalloyed love. To follow a sense of duty is the lower platform of devotional service. Vaidhi Bhakti, it is the platform where one is still materially conditioned, and then one takes shelter of rules and regulations. The higher manifestation of devotional service is devotional service based on pure love. We are contemplating, we are hearing about these unique qualities of the residents of Vrindavan, and we see how much they desire to please Krishna. Everything to please Krishna. And, well, that of course is awakening in us some desire to also please Krishna, which is a big change, because our whole life we have simply been trying to please ourselves. And everything we ever did was to please ourselves. So to come to that state of pleasing Krishna is the spirit of loving devotional service. In the beginning, we cultivate that to rules and regulations, and then gradually attachment to serving Krishna will develop, and in that way, rules and regulations, serving Krishna according to rules and regulations, transforms as attachment to Krishna develops. Therefore, to develop attachment to serving Krishna, that is our aim. Maya Shakta Manaparta Yoga Union Matasrayaha Asansyan Samagramam Yatagyasi Tatsinu. So we see sometimes devotees who will not they will not find a service. They try this one, they try that one, but it just can't seem to get absorbed in any service. They do a bit of this, a bit of that, but nothing captures them. That is our misfortune. Whenever we are given service, we should take that service and with our whole heart and dedication and try and develop that service as nice as possible, with a by making some special effort. And it's not just, okay, this is my service, no. I'll try and do it especially nice. That is the point where attachment will develop. But if one simply mechanically engages in prescribed duty, then it will be. It may stay dry, that service. So this eagerness to do the service especially nice, that's what will make the difference. And that's where attachment to Krishna and to that service begins to develop, where one starts to feel, this is my service. Wait a minute. It's mine. So we are currently serving in the material world, and using the paraphernalia of the material world in the service of Krishna. When we read about the gopis in Vrindavan, we read how some of the gopis with their long hair are sweeping the marble floor in the kunjas, the meeting places. And we sweep with brooms and mopping the temple floor. And what is the difference? Same benefit. same. It is Krishna's flow. So we are greatly blessed at every moment that there, at every moment there is so much mercy, so much benefit, and all everything related to Krishna is transforming and is it is sparsamani or chintamani. It is transcendental touchstone, and this. That's the nature of devotional service. It awakens attachment to Krishna. That is the unique thing. Thus, with great faith and enthusiasm, we can engage in devotional service. It will surely transform us. And anyone who gets touched by this movement will be transformed by it, and that is the nature of devotional service. Nam nam hiyavati shakti papa nirharare hari tavat kartum avapnuti patakam pataki naraha. So it is said that by chanting the holy name once, one becomes purified for more sinful activities than one can commit in a lifetime. So that in itself is so it is a very potent movement that will have tremendous effect. And still one may think, yes, but the attachment to Krishna is still not so deep. There are two things that develop. One is attachment to Krishna is developing. And the other thing is that we are accumulating Krishna's mercy by everything we do, even if we don't feel some transformation right now. But all the service, mercy is accumulating. And when Krishna so desires, then suddenly, a great transformation may come. So, therefore, although attachment to Krishna is our aim, even if that is apparently not manifesting so much in us, we must carry on with great faith, because Krishna will surely manifest that. And nothing is forgotten. That's not the smallest service. Everything accrues in our eternal balance, our eternal credit. So therefore, reminding ourselves of the great benefit of devotional service, we must be very eager to take shelter of such devotional service, irregardless of our position of ashram, irregardless of whatever our position is in the material world. Anyone in any place can chant the holy name of Krishna. And in that way, anyone can take advantage of this movement. So any questions, any comments?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, you're talking about household life. A person gets married is only because, it is not a general thing, but normally, a person gets married because he cannot remain a brahmachari. That's why he gets married. And after marriage, he plans his life in such a way that after a certain time of time, when all those anarthas and all those desires get subdued, for that he gives his time for a household life. And at the right time, when every desire is get subdued, keeping Krishna into center, when the right time comes, he can completely forego all those desires and keep a complete focus in Krishna consciousness and accept a vanprastha life. But sometimes, Maharaj, this is my experience, says this, that you keep household life completely focused on Krishna. You do all the activities that is required to be done, keeping Krishna into center. But still, the days are going by, but the anarthas and the desire of sense gratification has not been getting subdued. The age is going, the time is going by, and still the time, in that time, that the anarthas has not yet completely wiped out. So in that circumstances, what the devotee should do, because the age is going by, and he cannot accept Krishna consciousness very thoroughly, taking away all those desires completely out and completely making a focus in Krishna consciousness. In that circumstances, what the devotee should do to make it so fast enough, because the time is going by and the result is not coming up.
I think that in all ashrams, the material desires are there. Only when one is fully, has actually awakened his attachment to Krishna, are the material desires going away, not any earlier. So it's really about awakening our attachment to Krishna. It's something we just don't allow ourselves. It's almost as if we ourselves are the obstacle consciously. We say, no, you will not appreciate Krishna because you're going to spend your time with your material desires. These material desires, they are so strong. These material desires are always on your mind and you're going to systematically think about them every second of the day. And Krishna, no. You may chant 16 rounds, but don't think of Krishna. You may read, but you sleep at the same time. No, don't think of Krishna. Don't remember Krishna. Boycott Krishna. Avoid Krishna. No, whatever you do, even if you're in this movement, somehow or other, don't be Krishna conscious. It looks like that's what we've been doing all this time. Amazing. Sometimes I give the example of the mind. Govindam Adipurusham, what will be for breakfast today? Showing how the mind is not there, how the mind is absent. So let us become more conscious. Let us become more conscious of what we're doing. Let us appreciate more. It's something like a feast. It's being served out while everyone is sitting in rows, and devotees with buckets are following the rows and serving out the preparations. And we sit in the bed row, you know. Baba, sabji, hey, no sabji. It's this line, no sabji, only rice. No sabji. God, finally we got sabji. No puri. 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 You know, by the time the rasgullas are going around, again our line is missing. Gosh, are they doing it on purpose? Are ya rasgulla, yahan par rasgulla nahi aa gaya. Rasgulla. Meanwhile, we are eating the sweet rice. Rasgulla. We don't taste nothing. At the end, you ate the whole feast. You didn't taste one bite. So this is our spiritual life. We are so distracted. Out of habit, I have material desires. So what? Okay. They will never be fulfilled, no matter what you do. They are doomed, your material desires. May as well forget about them. And actually, appreciate Krishna. So we can actually appreciate Krishna a bit more and make a habit out of that. Appreciating Krishna. It's a strange thing, but it does make a difference. It helps actually. So many wonderful things. So many nice things. And let's just contemplate on all these nice things and practice it. To say it even. How nice. The deities are looking so nice. What a nice darshan. Oh, such a nice dress. Who designed it? So nicely done. Nice devotees. Who dressed? Oh, so nicely arranged. Everything so nice. So, one has to just stop being negative and rather be positive and say it, recognize it. And the more we say it and make a habit of that, how nice. Nice temple. Oh, nice devotees. Oh, nice prasad. Nice, nice, nice. Everything. Then we suddenly realize that there is so much taste. But all this time, we were externally doing everything but not tasting. Because inattentive, just inattentive to Krishna, inattentive to appreciating things. And in this way, all that we could see, struggle, struggle, material desires, struggle. Oh, so much struggle with the never-ending material desires. Material desires. What's there? What is it? What is so good? What is so good in the material world? What is it? New phone? Is it that good? Not really. New wife? Better than the old one? Still same thing. Still having to keep the peace. Still sometimes having to be quiet and bite the tongue. Still have to compromise. Everything, always compromise, 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 compromise. We must appreciate, consciously appreciate all the good things we have. And the more we do so, the more these material desires begin to look insignificant. So we're negative towards spiritual life. We're not appreciating. We should be more appreciative of all the wonderful things in Krishna consciousness. That's the cure. Any other question?
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. Maharaj, many times the question arises that Krishna in Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka is the same as well as different one. Because Krishna never took his one step outside Vrindavan. And many times devotees are the same questions. So how could reconcile the same things?
How?
How to reconcile the same thing that Krishna is the same, but simultaneously in Lila point of view, Krishna is a different one.
How is Krishna the same and how is Krishna different? And Krishna is the same because he is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is not forgetting who he is. In the Harivamsa, there is a situation described where Pralambasura is carrying away Balaram. And it said Balaram forgot. He forgot who he was. And Krishna called out to him and said, remember who you are. Okay. Then he killed Pralambasura. Krishna always is the Supreme Personality of Godhead at every time. in Vrindavan and outside of Vrindavan. But Krishna doesn't manifest the same outside of Vrindavan, because only Vrindavan is meant for that platform of pure unalloyed love. That's fully designed for that purpose. And everywhere else, there are the duties of Varna Ashram that are essential, that there is the Vedic culture that is essential, and Krishna becomes a teacher of that culture. So it's Krishna's mood that is different. Yeah. Like Radharani saw, it's the same Krishna, but I don't want him like this in a royal dress. No, I want him on the banks of the Yamuna under the Vantasi tree and so on. The same Krishna, but in a different mood now, manifesting a different mood. According to the mood of the people. It is said that that Jambudvip is divided in different varsas, in various subdivisions, and that in each of these subdivisions there are different deities of the Lord manifest and being worshipped according to people's desires. So the Lord manifests Himself in so many different ways according to people's desires. But there where the desires are 100% only for the pleasure of Krishna, and not tinged with anything else, there is Vrindavan. So that is the unique feature of Vrindavan. So in this way, Vrindavan is there Krishna as a unique mood. And as I said, there he can only be captured by love, by loving service. Whereas elsewhere, prescribed duty. So that's because they're different people with different stages of consciousness that Krishna manifests himself in different ways. Other question? Well, are we finished?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, regarding you just spoke about serving devotees, associates of the Lords, you just mentioned that point. I just want to clarify that. This sadhana bhakti, on the platform of sadhana bhakti, did it possible that we can become a nitya siddhas afterwards and take the associates of the Lord?
I spoke about the ragatmika devote bhaktas of the Lord and the raganuga bhaktas. The ragatmika devotees are eternally liberated devotees. They are absorbed in deep loving attachment for Krishna, such as Nanda and Yasoda and various cowherd boys and so on. And it says that as one is developing his spontaneous attraction to Krishna, one must serve Krishna in the mood of one of these eternal associates. And by doing so, one awakens his natural love for Krishna. Then as we awaken our natural love for Krishna, and when that is unalloyed and pure love, then we can also join the eternal pastimes of Krishna and stay in the spiritual sky and never again come down to the material world and thus serve also in the capacity of Nitya Siddha devotees. Yeah? Just like Putana was given a position as a nurse, right, of Krishna. And then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, he said, then when Krishna, when Lord Brahma stole the calves and cowherd boys, and Krishna took the place of these calves and cows, then these mothers of the cowherd boys and the cows, they were loving Krishna so much during 1 year. Right? For 1 year they were treating Krishna as their child or as their calf in the most loving way. Therefore these mothers and these cows, they even got a better place than Putana. They also became eternal mothers, but closer, more intimate to Krishna than Putana. So in this way, yes, there's place enough for more and more Nitya Siddha devotees. Absolutely. Place enough. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.